Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 this evening, and the title of my sermon this evening is Gamers. Gamers, amen. Preaching on video games this evening, and of course, I had mentioned this a while back that I wanted to preach on the subject of video games. This isn't my first time preaching on this particular subject. I did it a couple years back at someone else's church, and I didn't even realize what great of an impact video games actually has on our world. And even in the members of different churches. I mean, I thought that's just something that kids do, that teenagers play, and, you know, the Christians don't necessarily participate in. But not only do Christians participate in video games, adult Christians participate in video games. And so I want to talk about that subject tonight. Now, before we get into the scripture, before we get into the sermon, let me just say this, is that don't get offended tonight. You know, remember what I said this morning, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And some things that you might hear tonight are a little offensive, might rub you the wrong way. Maybe it's the first time you've ever heard this. But just understand this, is that obviously I'm using scripture here, and I'm going to explain to you what are the problems with gaming. What are the problems with playing video games and with gaming? And let me just say this, is that, you know, it used to be, well, I thought that, you know, video games was actually a permissible thing. I used to say, you know, it's okay if you play every once in a while, maybe a few hours. And by a few, I meant like 2 hours. And even that seems a little extreme. But in the day and age in which we live, that's impossible to do, actually. You know, people, teenagers and adults, actually invest a crazy amount of time playing video games and hours on end, yay, even days on end. And they waste a lot of resources in purchasing video games. And you know what? If that's what the world wants to do, it's obviously not conducive to productivity or anything like that. But let them do that. But what about save people, right? We actually have a purpose in life. The Bible says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God actually does have a plan for your life. He does have works for you to do. And none of them include this thing right here, okay? Yeah, and, you know, obviously, I don't even know what year this is. Some of you might be like, well, that one sucks. You know what I mean? There's a better one out there. But just imagine this to be your PC game console or your PlayStation or whatever. I don't even know what type of Xbox this is. You know, back in my day, we had just a regular N64 with cartridges. And, you know, I owned like one. And one or two. And then we'd have to rent the other ones at Blockbuster. I don't know if you guys know of that ancient ruin called Blockbuster. But back in the day, that's where you would rent videos and video games and such. But that's not what it is today. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 11. It says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Listen to this. "All things are lawful unto me." What does that mean? You know, as Christians, in general, we experience a lot of liberty, right? God gives us a lot of liberty to enjoy the things of this life. You know, he's given us all things richly to enjoy. We can essentially live a normal life where we can enjoy things, have fun. They're lawful unto us. There's obviously a lot of things that we should not do and we're not supposed to do, things that are just completely sinful. But in general, all things are lawful unto us. But then it goes on to say, but all things are not expedient. So what this is telling us is, though, even though we have the permission to partake in a lot of things in this world, you know, in general, we shouldn't participate in them because of the fact that they're not expedient. They don't produce anything good. They're not necessarily convenient. They're not conducive to a successful Christian life. They're not expedient. And then he goes on to say, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So even though it's permissible for us to, for example, play a video game, right? It's some of it. You know, play some video games where, you know, Minecraft or whatever. You know, the Bible says that you shouldn't be brought under the power of any of those things. And the truth of the matter is, that thing has a lot of power over a lot of young men. Yeah. And not just young men, older men, and even married people who participate in playing video games. And it really has a hold on their life. Like, no, it's just a hobby of theirs. Yeah, but a hobby that takes up like 35 hours and one straight shot is not a hobby anymore. That thing is an addiction, okay? When you literally forego sleep, you waste all these finances and resources, you spend, you know, yourself from 10 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning playing this video game, trying to pass it, at that point, it has authority over your life. You know, the night is meant for sleep, my friends. The night is meant for sleep and for recuperation, so you can get up early tomorrow and actually go to work and actually do something productive, not being on a video game. And here's the thing, that's aside from the fact that this is often attached to not just violence and things that are wicked and vile and filled with iniquity, but also with chat rooms. Because now video games, you know, you can actually talk to other people in different parts of the world. Of course, you know, Bible-believing Christians that you're communicating with, right? Now, some of these people are wicked and vile. Some of them are pedophiles. Some of them are criminals. Some are older men that are passing off as women, trying to develop relationships with younger men or younger women. Just wicked things. And you're spending 8 hours, okay? And by the way, that's a modest number. 8 hours is a modest number of how long someone takes to play these video games. They spend 8 hours listening to the worst filth. I'm not saying just playing the worst filth, okay? Because we'll get into that. In the World of Warcraft and Call of Duty and all the content that's found in those video games, all the killing and murders and all that. But what about just the content that's going into your ears by people on the chat room? You know, saying the most filthy, disgusting, perverse things. You don't think that that has an effect on your spiritual life? You don't think that has an effect on your heart? You don't think that has an effect on your walk with God? And you wonder why when you come to church, you have a hard time paying attention and actually liking the preaching of God's word. Right. It's because of the fact that your heart is as fat as grease. You can't pay attention. Your attention span is so short. You've spiked your dopamine to through the roof to the point that, you know, normal things in life don't even excite you anymore. Getting ahead of myself here, but just recognize this. And the reason I want to I use this scripture here is to show us that obviously playing video games, and I can't point to a verse that says playing video games is sinful. All things are lawful unto me. But I'll say this, playing video games is not expedient, and we should not be brought under the power of that. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to turn there, and verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So what the Bible seems to indicate is that Christians should participate in activities that will actually, you know, help us to be productive, successful. That which promotes spirituality. That which promotes a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Not everything that we do does that, right? But hold on a second. Does it improve other areas in your life, though? You know, does exercising improve other areas in your life? Does reading books outside of the Bible improve other areas of your life? If it does, then it's lawful for you to do. But you can't tell me that playing video games improves any area of your life. Right. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. Verse 11, everyone thought I was going to use this as a scripture, but I try to change things up every once in a while. You know, the Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but listen to this, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So, you know, you got a little kid, he plays video games, okay, you know, that's what they do, they play video games, you know, if they play a little Tetris, okay, what's wrong with building blocks? But, you know, I would say this, you should play with Legos, that's actually more productive than playing any video, than building any city or world on Minecraft, right? Why don't you actually get some physical Legos and actually build something that actually does something good to your brain? But it says here that eventually you get to a point where you become a man and you recognize, I shouldn't fool with this stuff. Okay, I need to put this away from me. I'm a grown man. I need a job. I want a girlfriend that I can marry. I want to be able to build a family. I want to get successful in life. And I don't want to be some lazy bum behind a screen with headphones on playing with some six-year-old around the world. I mean, isn't that an embarrassing thing? Put away childish things. And you know what? Let me say this. One of the other reasons that I want to preach this is because husbands, there's so many times when wives complain over the fact that their husbands spend more time playing video games than paying attention to them. And that's shameful, my friends. And those of you who are guilty of playing more video games than spending time with your wife, or taking her out, spending time with your children, shame on you, get right with God. Amen. Grow up, be a man. Amen. Throw away that stupid video game and go take your wife out on a date, get her some roses, go buy a meal and actually look at her face. Yeah. Instead of like, well, I want to play video games though. you're not a teenager anymore. You're not a kid anymore. You're going to destroy your marriage. You're going to destroy your children. And you know what? Wives should never get to a point where it's just like, it's either me or the video game. I mean, I literally just heard a testimony yesterday. I'm not going to say from who. It's no one in here. So don't worry about it. No one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, okay? Who's a staff member of a different church who literally, his wife was just like, if there's one thing I can get rid of, is his stupid PlayStation. And then he's just like, but that's the kid's PlayStation. It's like, that's your PlayStation. And you know what? You know what husbands and fathers do? They purchase that for their kids for Christmas or their birthdays, but it's really for them. You know, because they want to use their children as scapegoats to say, oh, that's their video game. As they, you know, and then once the kids go to sleep at night, boom, they get on there and start playing till 3, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever it may be. You know why everyone's laughing? Because it's true. But you know what? It's not right for you to invest so much time in playing some stupid video game where you're killing a bunch of people and you're not spending time with your wife developing your marriage. That's wicked. That's wrong. Why do you have to escape reality, the reality of a wonderful marriage, the reality of raising children, the reality of being a man, to go to this fake world where you get nothing done? What do you mean I get nothing done? World of Warcraft, I build worlds, I got empires. I get a lot done. Yeah, but you know what? If the electricity ever goes out, there goes your world. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, referring to the end times, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, listen to this, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You tell me how much time, if someone spends a modest amount of time, when I say modest, I'm being facetious here, obviously. 8 hours is not modest, but for the average gamer, that's very modest, okay? You spend 8 hours trying to beat this game. Can you say you really spend 8 hours doing anything spiritual consistently? That's called someone who's a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. And this is fact because of the fact that as you're playing a video game, you're spiking the dopamine. You're constantly seeing brand new images, you know. And then obviously you're not just not being productive. You're also just messing up your mind and your body, okay? Because of the fact that you're pounding the energy drinks, you're lacking sleep, you're sedentary, you're not doing anything, the blue light is just constantly hitting your face, and then your sleep is all messed up, and then you get depressed, then you're lonely, then you're sad, and it's just this vicious cycle that continues over and over and over again. Now, some of you may not even know what I'm talking about, and praise God for that, all right? If you're just like, what, is this even real? But folks, it's real, and it's a real epidemic in our world today. I was going to say the United States, but this is all over, okay? And so people who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, what are some arguments that people will bring when it comes to allowing their children or allowing themselves to play video games? Well, you know, they can make money playing video games. I get what you're saying, but what if they actually make money, though? You know, what if they actually make a paycheck? What if they become, like, famous? What if they're like a PewDiePie, right? Is that guy even around anymore? Does he even play video games? You know, what if they get rich and famous? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says this, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So you know what? God is not just interested in you getting money and getting riches. He wants you to get it the right way, by labor and not by vanity. There's nothing more vain than making money off of a video game, my friends. Pretending to be someone that you're not. Okay? Well, you know, they just want to be successful. They want to be competent in an area. Folks, the Bible says, if any man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. If you want your child and your teenager to be successful, help him go get a trade. Help him to go get an actual job. Help him to learn how to get himself a woman. Right? That's actually successful. Well, he has a woman, but it's on the video games, though. Like, you know how many love stories of two people that have met on video games and stuff? That's cheesy. That's corny. Well, they want to feel like they're in control of their lives, you know. They want to feel independent and in control. And you look it up, these are some of the reasons that people give why it's okay to play video games, okay? They want to be able to rule cities. That's why they play Minecraft. Because, you know, oh yeah, all those other violent games, we understand that. But Minecraft is so innocent. You know, it's like Mario Brothers pixelated, that pixelated type of look on steroids, right? And we just want to rule cities. Why don't you rule your own spirit, though? Amen. The Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. The Bible also tells us that if a man doesn't have rule over his own spirit, he's like a city that is broken down and without walls. And you know what? Video games produce some of the most emotional brats that I've ever met in my life. And that's fact. Why? Because you don't sleep. You're not getting the proper nutrition. You don't get sunlight. You don't touch grass. Right? You're not active. And so you get, and your dopamine's way up. You're just, it's shot. You're just constantly used to that spike every single hour. You know what that makes you? Emotional. Incapable of ruling over your own spirit. That's why you mouth off to your parents when they tell you to shut it off. That's why you mouth off to your parents when they tell you to put away the game console. I mean, there's literally on the news a couple weeks ago of a kid who killed his mom because she refused to buy him a game console. That's wicked. Like, oh, you know, it's all innocent. Oh, is that innocent? He murdered his mother because she refused to buy him a game console. That's wicked. That's vile. That's disgusting. Folks, rule your own city. Young men, rule your own spirit. Rule your own self. You don't need to, you know, get Minecraft to be able to feel like you're in control. You know, the greatest Minecraft that exists is actually the millennial reign, my friends. Or God will tell you, be thou ruler over 10 cities, literal cities. He's not going to hand you a game console and say, you know, make a world or whatever. Well, you know, they're just trying to escape. They need a stress reliever. They just need to escape from what? You're making it seem as though, like, their life is just miserable or something. I mean, can life really be that bad where they want to go into this fake world? If it is, then maybe you need to change some things in your home. Right? But people use video games as a form of escapism to escape the realities of being a teenager. And don't get me wrong, you know, being a teenager is hard. I understand that. It is difficult. It's a transitory type of stage in a person's life, where they're very insecure, they don't really know what they're doing, they have, you know, they're just kind of confused, and especially if they go to a public school, there's all types of insecurities and just all types of nonsense that takes place in the public schools. But you know what? As Christian parents, you should construct a life where your children are happy to be a part of that doesn't include video games, okay? Well, they just want to make a difference in someone's life, and they can do that by video games. You can't make a difference in someone's life by video games. You can help someone win a level or something like that. But as a Christian, you can change someone's life by preaching the gospel and getting them saved. And look, you know, some of these video games, like, for example, God of War, right? Isn't that a popular game? One just came out in 2022 in November. I looked it up, you know, and it's basically you're imitating a false god throughout the entire game. Oh, you're just exaggerating. They don't really think that they're gods. Yeah, but they're playing one, though. Would you be okay if your son or your daughter just started dressing up like a false god in your house and just acting like a false god? What makes you think it's okay for them to do it in your home on a video game? Turn with me, if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 5. You know, I hope that this sermon hits home. And I hope that, you know, the vast majority of, and I get it, you know, a lot of people in our church, not a lot, but, you know, when I mentioned video games a couple weeks ago, you know, I had all these confessions afterwards, right? People were just like, yeah, I used to play. And I didn't know there were so many gamers, former gamers, not former gang members, former gamers in our church. It was just like, what? You know, and it's just like, it is I. I'm guilty of this too. And they started giving me all this info of what people do on gaming. But I would hope that, you know, this sermon would cause you young people and cause you adults especially to just say, what am I doing? Throw this trash away. This is stupid. What am I doing? Why am I even playing this? I'm a Bible-believing Christian. You're like, well, I just need, you know, some downtime. I need, you know, then go run around the block. Go join a gym. Go get some gains. Go lift. Go, you know, purchase a gun and go to the shooting range. Go get into Brazilian jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai kickboxing. Go read a book. You're an adult. You're a grown man. Go do something productive with your life. You're not a kid anymore. I don't know how else to say it. Now, let me give you some problems with playing video games, okay? First and foremost, I'm going to give you four problems with playing video games, and then I'm done, okay? Number one is that they require an inordinate amount of time. I mean, these are reasons why you shouldn't play video games, okay? Number one is that they literally require an inordinate amount of time. I'm telling you, before I used to say, well, if you play for a couple hours, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's impossible to do. No one can take a video game and just play for 2 hours. And I guarantee you, most former gamers or current gamers in our church have ever just played for 1 hour. Yeah. I guarantee it. Let me give you some statistics here, or some numbers. God of War, which is the most recent one, Ragnarok or something. Does anybody want to correct me on that one? How do you say that? Come on. Ah, you guys have learned. You've learned. Very good. Who said it? Can take up to 30 to 35 hours to complete. Half-Life, Alyx, takes about 18 and a half hours to complete if you're trying to see all aspects of the game. The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, 53 hours or longer, depending on whether you are doing secondary quests. So it could actually take longer than 53 hours. And you say, yeah, but that's not in one sitting. Let me just say this. Many of it is in one sitting. Okay, so I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, okay, although I might. But, you know, I've had people tell me, like, you know, I'm not going to say who it is, all right? Because I was trying to figure out, like, you know, how can we distinguish the current gamers from the former gamers of my day? Because the longest I've ever played, like, a video game, like an N64 or something, was, like, maybe 2 hours. And then I just kind of got bored and I want to go outside and play, okay? Or go see the sun, you know what I mean? But I learned when I started asking people, when's the longest amount of time that you've played a video game? You know, some would, the former gamers of my era would basically state it in hours. They would say about a few hours, 2 hours, or whatever. But the new gamers, they wouldn't base it off of hours. They would base it off of the sunrise. They would say, till sunrise. And then someone even in our church, and I'm not going to say who it is, even though he probably gave me permission to say it, he said, I saw the sun rise twice. And it sounded like he was giving a, what is that called?
A haiku
or something. I saw the sun rise twice. You know, it's just like, what? But you know what? That's actually nothing compared to what a lot of people do. Okay. And so when it says 30 to 35 hours, they've designed these video games in such a way that it's so immersive, it's so, you know, just realistic, that you just essentially get lost in the game and you lose track of time.
Yeah.
Okay? So 53 hours, I guarantee you there's people in this world, multitudes of people, who have played a video game, something like this, for 53 hours. And look, I personally knew someone from Bible college, which I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that literally stayed up all night. He had some coolant that he had to put in his computer PC or something like that to keep it going. And he played for like 48 hours or something like that. And you know what? This guy in Bible college, he's constantly falling asleep. His diet was terrible. He was always sickly. He was always apathetic towards the things of God. And I wonder why. Because he's up all night killing imaginary people. And so when the word of God is being preached to him, it's not that the word of God doesn't have power. His heart has been hardened through violence and all this other nonsense. Playing so long. So The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, 53 hours or longer, depending on whether you are doing the secondary quest. XCOM 2, 72 hours. 33 hours is a modest number. But if you want to see all aspects of the game, 72 hours. Now, this sounds so gay. Disco Asylum or Elysium. I mean, does anybody know what that is? Disco Elysium? Has anybody ever heard of that? That one takes 90 hours, listen to this, of continuous playtime. And reasonably completionist player to be able to finish that. 90 hours. Elden. Apparently some people know what I'm talking about. Elden Ring, 132 hours. All aspects of the game, if you want to see it, it takes basically 5 days. Yeah, but that's like on and off, though. I guarantee you. And let me just say this. There's someone else, and I'm not going to say who it is, who showed me how long they spent on a video game. And it said it was like 38 days. And in my mind, I was just like, oh, like you went on there for 38 days straight. And it's like, no. The amount of time that they played accumulates to 38 days.
Yeah, that was
88
days.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, 88 days. Cat's out of the bag. It was Adrian. Hey, but you know what? I commend Adrian because he's a new convert. And you know what? After that, he gave his game console to Gio that very night and said, take it. I'm not playing with it. And Gio's been playing with it ever since. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. He has it. You know what? He stopped. So that's why he's speaking up because, you know, it'd be something else if he's still playing it. 88 hours. You didn't have to. You should have just let me say 38. I'm just kidding. 88 hours. But you know what? I guarantee you there's other people who have done way more than that. And that's on one particular game, by the way. Okay? And, you know, it gets to a point where they're purchasing all these video games, and you could actually, the content that you have on the video game is actually worth money. Like, there's, like, weapons in the video game that's worth money. Sometimes even as much as, like, a real weapon, if not more than a real weapon. Am I right or am I wrong? Right? I mean, it's just like a knife or something is worth like money on there. Can you believe this? It's not real. It's not a real knife. It's fake. It blows my mind. It's just like the greatest prank ever played. It's like you're paying money for this fake knife, for this fake gun, fake grenade, whatever. So 132 hours, 5 days. Crusader Kings 3, about 70 hours. Hollow Knight, 61 hours. Now, the games that I just mentioned are actually the top 10 games right now, okay? And I don't even know if these are like those types of PC or these game consoles or actual PC games, but it doesn't matter. Okay, I'm just showing you what, like, how much time these games require for you to actually succeed at the game. So if you're spending, let's get the most modest one here, 30 hours playing a video game instead of actually doing something productive or spiritual, you need to get right with God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, wherefore he saith, hey, look, let me just say this. Don't come to me trying to get advice for your marriage, trying to get advice on how to fix your marriage and your wife or your husband if you're, like, playing video games for this amount of time. Yeah. It should be very obvious to you what you need to do first. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell you to read your Bible. I'm not going to tell you to pray. I'm going to tell you, go throw your stupid video game away. That's what you need to do. Yeah. Well, what if I sell it? Throw it away! Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Listen to this. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what people do playing video games? They kill time. Right? I just want to kill some time. The Bible says we don't kill time. We're supposed to redeem the time.
Amen. That's good.
We're supposed to save time. And you know what? You have only so many days on this earth. You have only so many years on this earth. Do you really want to spend even a week of it with this nonsense, instead of spending a week of it, memorizing the scriptures, winning souls to Christ, being a better son, being a better daughter, making actual money, improving your marriage. The Bible says, so teach us to number our days in Psalm 90, verse 12, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, the Bible tells us. Go with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, if you would. And look, I'm preaching to the teenagers, but I'm also preaching to the parents and future parents, okay? Because of the fact that at the end of the day, they're under your roof. And again, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to be disrespectful towards you. What I'm trying to do is trying to cause you to understand that this can destroy your child's life. And you know what? They may be able to play the part in church, but you know what? Up here, something else is going on. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 9, says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment," the Bible says. So he's saying, hey, you want to enjoy those things? You want to play some video games? Is this what you want to do? You want to walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes? And you want to cheer yourself in your youth by playing video games and killing people and zombies, and you want to build worlds. You want to be this big shot on World of Warcraft or whatever. Okay. You have the liberty to do so if that's what you want. However, know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Yeah. Every action has a consequence, my friends. Therefore, he says in verse 10, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity, he says. Chapter 12, verse 1. What should I do, Pastor? Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, eventually you actually physically grow up. Eventually life actually starts hitting. And you got to take some responsibility, and you actually have to be a man. The Bible's telling us you should sow good seeds now in your youth so you don't become some loser when you're older.
Yeah, that's
good. So you don't become some furry when you're older. So you don't become some jobless, worthless person in this world. Well, that's me. Why are you saying that? Because of the fact that I don't want the young people in our church to go down that path and destroy their lives and be a complete loser. That's why. And you know what? It's biblical, my friends. The Bible commands us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. That means in the days of our youth, we should think about the Lord. We should think about the things of God. And you know what? If you're in here tonight, you're obviously doing that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we got some young people in our church tonight that are obviously putting God first by being here. And I commend the teenagers who stick around, they go soul winning, they come to church on their own accord, and they're doing that. That's a great thing. But you know what? Put this away from you.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, you know, it causes people to just not fulfill their responsibilities. There's this guy who essentially, he was just like this big shot on World of Warcraft. I mean, he created empires. He had hordes of people following him. And he was just this, he was like the man on World of Warcraft. And I don't even know what that game is. I just saw his little, what is that, the avatar or something like that? Some long-haired dude or whatever. But in reality, his grades were suffering. He was in college. He was failing all of his classes. His health was poor. He essentially just alienated himself from all his friends and family. So his real life was just completely destroyed. And you know what? There's people in Japan who literally die gaming. They die gaming because they have gaming centers, whatever. People can game all they want. And there's people who literally died in their seats gaming. Well, that's not going to happen to me. I wouldn't even want to be anywhere near that, though.
Yeah.
Pay attention to your wives. Pay attention to your children. Pay attention to the Bible. Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. So it requires an inordinate amount of time that you could be using to invest in spiritual things. to invest in your marriage, to invest in your children, to invest in actual relationships. You know, you could actually make real friends. Hey, guys, you could actually invest that time in getting yourself a girl.
Yeah.
You know, get a woman, right?
Yep.
Like learning how to actually talk to women,
yeah.
Not just through like headphones, right? And a little microphone or whatever, a little chat there. I know you're like, I know the Riz is off the charts when, you know, when you're playing video games, but how's your Riz in real life? How's that Riz coming along? Everyone's just like the man behind a screen. But when like in real life, it's like, go talk to that girl. It's like, you're like the man in World of Warcraft, but then you're like a furry in real life. You know, why don't you invest some time to actually go talk to a girl? Right? Like, well, where do I start? You know? By going to a physical girl. And saying, hi, my name is, okay, and this is not, I'm not going to quote Eminem here, all right? You know, my name is so-and-so, what's your name? Nice to meet you, you know, where are you from, kind of thing. You know, actually spark up a conversation, learn how to talk to other human beings face-to-face. And you know what? Gaming causes young people to be the most antisocial people in society today.
Right.
They just hate being around people. You know, I used to think that, oh, you know, it's just like introverts. That's just, you know, how people are. And I know that's true because, like, for example, my wife, she's somewhat of an introvert. You know, Ulysses is somewhat of an introvert. He's my employee. But you know what? He's still very, you know, friendly, and he still goes out of his way to talk to people. But you know what? Some people are made introverts, though, by video games. Let me just say that. Because they're not comfortable actually in a social setting talking to other people. And it's not because they don't have the skills or the ability to do so. It's just their mind is wired to not to talk to other human beings. Their mind is wired, if they're talking to you, to just constantly look at their phones and not look at you in the eyes.
Yeah, right.
And I've noticed that with young people. Young people who spend a lot of time on video games, they have a hard time looking at you straight in the eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
They have a hard time doing that for whatever reason. Because it's just like another human being instead of a screen. Take time as a young man, young lady, to actually learn and invest in your life and invest in the things of God. And don't fall into this trap. Number two, here's another reason why video games or being a gamer is a problem. Number two, they desensitize the mind to evil. You say, what do you mean? A lot of these video games that people play, and you can bring up Minecraft all you want, okay? But there's things out there other than Minecraft that people play.
Yeah.
Now, back in my day, there was a really wicked game, and I didn't own it because I didn't own like a game console to even play it, but my friends would play it. But it still exists today. It's Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
That's a super wicked game.
Yep.
That's a game where you literally can only succeed by committing crimes.
Yeah.
And it's a game where you essentially fulfill the most ungodly desire. Of killing, committing fornication, raping, or whatever. I mean, it's called Grand Theft Auto. You have to steal things in order to succeed. And if I'm not mistaken, they're still coming out with Grand Theft Autos, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, they're still out there. They just go from city to city. Well, you know what? If you're look, I remember watching my friend play, and he goes, oh, check this out. He just go and just beat someone up in the street. Some old lady or whatever. On the street, just beats her up. And just goes and just pulls someone out of their car. And they're cussing or whatever. And he takes their car and he takes off or whatever. There's prostitutes in the game. You commit fornication. I mean, this is evil. You're telling me if you play that for five hours, you don't think that's going to have an effect on your mind? You don't think that that's going to cause you to be desensitized to actual violence? I mean, it's wicked, my friends.
Yeah.
A study shows that playing first-person shooting games like Call of Duty reduces a person's gray matter in the brain. Gray matter contains most of the brain's neural cell bodies. The gray matter includes regions of the brain involved in muscle control and sensory perception, such as seeing and hearing, memory, emotion, speech, decision-making, and self-control. So what video games actually does is it essentially starts messing with your frontal lobe cortex. Now, video games can't make you reprobate if you're already a Christian, obviously, because no Christian can become reprobate. But if a Christian cannot become reprobate, the next step is this. You can become desensitized and hardened to sin. So it's impossible for you to become a reprobate because you're already saved. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. However, you can become hardened to violence and filth and all these other things by playing video games because you're watching this 24/7 or however many hours you're playing for, and it actually affects your frontal lobe cortex. Okay? Let me read you this article here. Violent video games are of concern to many experts. In a study of 45 adolescents playing violent video games for only 30 minutes, immediately lowered activity in the prefrontal lobe cortex compared to those who participated in nonviolent games. Previous research shows that just 10 to 20 minutes of violent gaming increased activity in the brain regions associated with arousal, anxiety, and emotional reaction, which simultaneously reducing activity in the frontal lobes associated with emotion, regulation, and executive control. So what this is saying is that if a person just plays for 10 to 20 minutes a day, 10 to 20 minutes is all you need to produce an emotional person because all they're doing is looking at violence. Okay? The dopamine releases that come from the gaming is so powerful, says researchers, it can almost shut down the prefrontal lobe cortex regions. In other words, your judgment just kind of goes out the window. This is why you can laugh at violence. This is why you can people today on social media, they laugh when people die. They laugh when people are mutilated. They make fun of people who are beaten, who are murdered because they play video games and they involve themselves in these things. Yeah. Their judgment just kind of goes out the window. And folks, you know, the love of many shall wax cold, the Bible says. And we don't want to be people, because we're Christians, who cares what the world thinks? We don't want to be Christians like, well, that's cool, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I don't really care about that. I can take it. You, as a Christian, are called to be a holy person, a righteous person who doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. Look what Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15 says. Were they ashamed when they have committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. A great quality for every human being to have is the ability to have shame. To blush. When something wicked happens or something inappropriate is done, the ability to blush and be embarrassed over those things, that's a wonderful virtue. This is what the Bible refers to as shamefacedness. But if you're watching people get murdered, or if you're participating in the murder, it's fake. But you're simulating murder, though. You succeed in the game by killing other people. Well, they're aliens or something, you know. Let me read to you some of the most violent games that exist. Okay, these are very popular. Dead Space 2. Players must avoid or kill the enemies that are manifested as horrific corpse-like creatures. Well, that sounds just dandy, right? Mortal Kombat. I mean, need we say more? I mean, Mortal Kombat was around when I was around back in my day, like in the 90s. And I remember, like, seeing Mortal Kombat. I'm like, it would kind of give me nightmares. It was scary, actually. You know? Medal of Honor. Hyper-realistic graphics recreate modern-day war zones in Afghanistan. Soldiers' bodies crumble authentically and gush blood when shot. Kill counts are often high enough to populate a small town, not to mention the rampant profanity. You tell me that a Christian can play that and have not affect their soul? Not vex their righteous soul from day to day? And we wonder, why these people in the military, when they actually go to war, it's almost as if like they enjoy killing people. Because they've been playing video games since they were kids, killing people on a video game, and it's just like a video game to them when they go over there. What's this other video game here? Call of Duty, Black Ops. These are probably old, but I mean, I'm sure it gets worse every year. Realistic ragdoll physics govern the way bodies flail and fall when struck. and blood often soaks soldiers' clothes and the ground. Plus, the series of online play has proven exceptionally habit-forming, luring players into long late-night sessions. I mean, you're looking at all this. This is like the Bible says that God, he hates the soul of those who love violence. Assassin's Creed, Brotherhood. Lifelike sword fights see players slashing and skewering foes with realistic crimson effects. Special moves such as throwing an axe at an enemy's head having equally bloody results. The extreme nature of the violence combined with matured themes and dialogue make this an adult's only experience. And I guarantee our adults are not the only ones that are playing those games. So you trying to tell me if someone spends 30 hours playing that? That's not going to have some sort of effect on their life, on their brain, on their soul. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Look at Ephesians 5, verse 11. The Bible says here, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Let me ask you, do you fellowship with people online when you're playing video games? I mean, isn't it the case that you'll be on a video game and then you go to sleep and you wake up to go play again and the same chat is still in existence? Like the same people who you're playing with 8 hours ago are still on there? And these are often people who are not Christians. They're not. You say, well, then we'll just play with Bible-believing Christians. So Bible-believing Christians are going to get together to play violent video games, and you're just defiling both of your souls. Oh, great idea. It says, the Bible says that we should rather reprove, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." 3 John verse 11 says this, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God," the Bible says. And I have a lot of other scriptures that I can go over, but I'm almost out of time. Go with me, if you would, to go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let me read to you from Psalm 101, verse 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." The Bible says we shouldn't set wicked things before our eyes. That we should do it the best as we possibly can to avoid wickedness, avoid allowing it through our ear gate and through our eye gate. What's another problem with video games? Number 3, listen to this. They place children and young adults in precarious situations. Now, aside from the violence, aside from the fact that you're just wasting your time, you know, you're actually giving yourself an opportunity to be tempted to sin, to be placed in a dangerous situation. I mean, I guarantee you there is 45, 50-year-olds on there who are pedophile reprobates who are trying to take advantage of children, and they go into these chat rooms talking to other people. I mean, I've heard that there's individuals who are guys who have female avatars trying to pass off as a female, talking to your little Peabody. I mean, think about that for a minute. But not only that, you know, relationships can develop in those situations as well, that are not proper, they're not appropriate. And so you don't want to put your child in a precarious situation where you can cause them to sin. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. "My son, if sin is enticed, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." Now, I used to interpret this as, you know, people physically coming to you. But you know what? When someone encourages you to go play in a video game, this is basically what they're telling you. Go commit sin. Go commit crime. Go participate in these things. And God is obviously not pleased with it. But you know what? Here's the last reason. And go to Exodus chapter 32. Young people, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't just take what I'm saying with as water off a duck's back, with a grain of salt. Don't think, oh, Pastor Mejia is just out to lunch with this. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to continue in this path. Heed the warning that I'm giving to you. I'm not just doing this for shock value. I'm not just doing this to get on you. I'm doing this because there's obviously an evident result of these things that are not good. And I want you to be spared of the consequences of these actions. Don't take lightly what you're doing. And you know what? Sometimes it's just like, well, you know, maybe I should just put away the bad video games, though. Or I'll just play without my headphones so that mom and dad can hear me, my parent can hear me, you know, playing video games. But you know what? The reality is this. 3 months down the road, you're probably going to go back to the other ones, though. In my experience, it's just better to just get rid of it all in one swipe. To just say, you know what? I'm done with this. Here's the last reason why video games are problematic. They become an idol. They become an idol. And this is how I know that this is an idol. It's because I guarantee you there's a lot of offended people in the church right now. Okay? Or even people online. I remember a couple years ago, I came out with a clip about Minecraft, and I said, is Minecraft sinful? And I was explaining how, you know, basically the same stuff I explain now. And, man, people were so upset. How can Minecraft be sinful? It's literally this. This guy's, he doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy's salty. They're super upset because I attacked their little golden calf, right? It can become an idol. Yeah, you don't worship a false god. You may not worship Allah. You may not worship Buddha. You may not worship the God of the Mormons. You may not worship the God of the Catholics. You may not worship some pagan god. But hold on a second. What about this thing right here, though? When I start talking about this, does it rub you the wrong way? Does it bother you? Do you not like it when I hit it like that? When I'm just beating it? Huh? Does that bother you just a little bit when I say you need to grow up? Does it bother you a little bit when I say put away the video games from among you? Does it bother you when I say put that trash away? It belongs in the garbage. You're a man of God. You ought to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't waste your time playing video games. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Does that bother you? How about parents? Does that bother you? Don't talk to my kids like that. You brought them to church. I told you this morning I was going to preach on this. Does that bother you? You know what it's become? An idol. It's become a golden calf. Yeah, I don't like what he's saying about that. I'm still going to do it. That, you know why? Because it's just an idol. Exodus 32, verse 19 says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? The Bible says. You know what? You know what you young people need to do? You need to take your Xbox. And trash that idol. Because you know what? That thing's taking the place of you reading the Bible. That thing's taking the place of your prayer life. That thing's taking the place of you living the righteous. It's taking the place of you improving your marriage. And if someone stands in the way of my marriage and my child rearing, that's what they deserve. It's an idol. Oh, you're that's too much. Well, you know what? It's not too much for God. Didn't think this is too much. God didn't think, oh man, Moses just exaggerated. He shouldn't have done that. You know, he should have just gone about it a different way. He should have, you know, just melted it and made it back to jewels or whatever and rings. I hate video games because it creates apathy in the church. It makes people not pay attention to the preaching of God's word. It makes young people apathetic towards the truth of God's word. It makes people bored with church. Even though the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's an idol. And you know what the Bible says we should do with idols? Smash them. Amen. Destroy them. Jeremiah 2:11 says, hath a nation changed their god, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. I don't care how much money you can make off of that. I don't care how many levels you've conquered. I don't care how many worlds and empires you've made. It doesn't profit. I don't care how successful you've gotten on there. It does not profit one bit. Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, how about these levels right here? You know? How about actually getting past some of these levels? How about reading your Bible through this year? How about conquering the level of getting yourself a wife? Yeah, that's a hard level. That's worth doing right there. How about conquering the level of getting a promotion at your job?
Yeah.
How about conquering the level of being the leader in church?
Yeah.
How about conquering the level of loving your wife as Christ also loved the church? Amen. Raising your children and nurturing the admonition of the Lord? Being a godly young man? These are levels worth conquering.
Amen.
Not that stupid crap.
Amen.
Put away your video games. Don't make me preach this again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the principles thereof, Lord. I hope it hits home. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that you help us as your people to not be entangled with the affairs of this life. That we would destroy the idols that are before us, Lord, that would cause us not to love you or cause us to be distracted from the things of God. And Lord, I love the young people in our church. I think they have a lot of potential. And Lord, but sometimes there's hindrances in the Christian life that can get that can deter them. And maybe it's not something immediate. Sometimes it's gradual. And video games is that which does it gradually. It gradually makes her heart cold towards the things of God. It gradually makes her heart cold towards love for their parents. It gradually just kind of desensitizes them to sin and to wickedness and iniquity. Help them to wake up, to put it away from among themselves, and live a life that's pleasing unto you. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.